We need to not make conditions for God, because if you do, God just steps back, lets you go your own way, do it, you know, let you do it, and you're on your own. A lot of people ministering for the Lord out there who are really on their own. They've chosen what they want to do, they've chosen how they want to do it, and God just backs off.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, in today's message, we see something that's rather shocking.
Yes, Dave, we will. And what are we talking about? It's the reality that there are those who are ministering day in and day out for the Lord, and yet the Lord is not with them. He is not in on it. They've just chosen what they want to do. And we're going to see that Ezekiel is told by God whom he is to minister to. He doesn't get the choice, and he is a faithful watchman who does what God says. Okay, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 33 and see what I'm talking about.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Middle of verse 5, but had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. Pretty simple. Take the warning, you live, okay? Verse 6, but if the watchman sees the sword and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken in his iniquity. Hey, his sin's still there, but he gets taken. But notice, there's a responsibility. End of verse 6, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. Hey, if he didn't do his job and the people were taken in their iniquity, hey, it is on you, watchman. You did not do your job. He's laying forth an extremely important principle in the physical sphere as an example for churches, okay? Certainly the church, certainly for his people back then, and certainly now for us, as we'll see, the New Testament affirms that. And so, a watchman sees the sword coming, blows a trumpet, people are delivered, the person doesn't take warning, that it's on him. Watchman sees the people coming, doesn't blow the trumpet, people are taken, they're still in their iniquity, but it is on him, okay? So then, it was an incredibly important position, and so we have this physical illustration. So why does God do this? Why in chapter 33 of Ezekiel does God give us this illustration again? Now, you might remember back in chapter 3 that Ezekiel was appointed a watchman. And we're going to see that the next few verses are almost identical as what we saw back in chapter 3. So he's being reappointed. And why is God doing this? I believe he's pointing out, first of all, that Ezekiel has been a faithful watchman. For the last 8 years, he has said everything God has wanted him to say, and Israel didn't respond. Babylon took them, and they had a great slaughter, and the survivors were taken away to exile, and it's on them, not on the watchman. Ezekiel did what was right. And now you might think, okay, Ezekiel's job's done, but he's reappointing him, as we'll see today, because there are now more exiles that we have in Babylon, and they need to be delivered from their sin just as much as those who were in Jerusalem. Okay, so this brings us now to Ezekiel's recommissioning as, in a sense, a spiritual watchman. Verse 7. Now notice the duty here. Now, as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. He gave that example first. Hey, the simple example. He said, now, Ezekiel, I've appointed you as a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me. Pretty straightforward. Again, as I mentioned, this section here, verses 7 and 9, are almost identical to what we have in chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Almost identical, verse for verse. And yes, this is during this old covenant time, but I believe it's packed full of truth that apply to us also. So what can we learn? First of all, for those who are going to serve the Lord, God decides where and how they're going to serve. He says, now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watcher for the house of Israel. God appointed him. God placed him in that position. Ezekiel had no choice in the matter, like we saw back in chapter 3. He had no choice. God placed him there. And how we could learn from this, brothers and sisters, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. You know, we so want to have our rights and do our own thing, and we bring that into the church and into our serving the Lord. And we need to yield and give over to a good God, a gracious God, who will place us where is best for us and best for the people of God. You see, if you live your life telling Christ what you're going to do for him rather than submitting, then you're going to have a difficult Christian life. You're going to have one that is not blessed. You're going to have one that's not rewarded. It's going to be difficult. We have no choice truly in what God decides to do with us. He is a good and gracious God, and he gifts us for how to serve one another. But he chooses where he wants us to be. Ezekiel had no say over this. God just said, I've appointed you. That's the way it is. It's a done deal. We know in the New Testament that God, by his Spirit, gives differing gifts for the body of Christ. And they're different. Not all have the same. Paul gives the illustration of a body that not everybody's an eyeball, not everybody's hands. Differing gifts. And we need to do what he has called us to do, be who he's called us to be, rather than what we want to be. Just think of a regular earthly illustration. You know, whether you're saved or not, God has given you natural talents. Those who function in the context of their natural talents do well what God has given them. Those who function, try to do things different than that, they don't do so well. The reality is God has given us spiritual gifts. And here, God appointed Ezekiel as the watchman. So if you think you have a say over what you want to do, you need to confess that. I hear people wanting to go into ministry. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. I say, I hope that's what the Lord wants you to do in your life. I hope that's what the Lord wants to do. Because otherwise, you're spinning your wheels. And I often think of this in terms of the church. I think it's in terms of my own life. Unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor, labor in vain. You know, God is gracious to lead you if you just submit. And he's a good God and a gracious God. So now, secondly, notice he says, I've appointed you a watchman. He says, for the house of Israel. This is another point here. God chooses who we minister to. We want to minister to this group. We want to do that. We have all the desire. What we want to do. I want to do this or that. He says, I've appointed you a watchman. End of verse 7, for the house of Israel. He didn't say to Ezekiel, who would you like me to appoint you to? And Ezekiel didn't say, well, I want to go to the nations instead. You know, we have all these paradigms and missions that people just follow blanketly rather than trusting the Lord and obeying him and going where he wants them to go. Ezekiel was commissioned to Jews in exile, not to Babylon. And we need to be careful not to mimic the way other people are gifted or things they do. There's pressure these days in churches to do missions the way missions do. You got to do this and that. Hey, it needs to be God appointing. We have no right to choose who we minister to and evangelize. If Ezekiel was like us, he would probably be telling the Babylonians to repent. Maybe holding up signs in the highways, raising money for the anti-Nebuchadnezzar fund, or whatever it might be, you know, or the Restore Israel to Their Land campaign, you know, whatever it might be. But God said, I've appointed you to the house of Israel. And he's going to say, I've appointed you to warn them. He was a watchman for the house of Israel, not Babylon. Daniel and his friends, by God's sovereign hand, ministered to the Babylonians and to the king. Jonah went to Nineveh. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Philip was led by the Spirit to an Ethiopian eunuch. Jesus himself came specifically to his own people, specifically to then live the perfect life and die for our sins on the cross. God takes you where he wants you. The point is, you just got to say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want, wherever you want. I'm just willing. And he's faithful. So God says, I've appointed you a watchman. We need to not make conditions for God, because if you do, God just steps back, lets you go your own way, do it, you know, let you do it, and you're on your own. A lot of people ministering for the Lord out there who are really on their own. They've chosen what they want to do, they've chosen how they want to do it, and God just backs off. But here, he says, Son of man, I've appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. And I ask you, are you willing to minister where you are? Now, obviously, again, we're talking about leadership here, but each one of us also has opportunities and people around us to share the gospel when God opens the door. You could turn to Acts chapter 17 for a moment. Acts chapter 17. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to the wise guys in Corinth. And his heart has been pierced because he's seen all their idols. And he saw this one idol that was to an unknown God. And so he decided to say, hey, I know who the unknown God is. I know who he is. And he decides to share about him with them. Acts 17, verse 26. And he made one from every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. God determines where we are, what time in history we come, and where we live. Where would God determines that? And he says there, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him, though he is not far from each one of us. Now, we know there are none in their sinfulness that seek after God, but when God convicts, you can seek him. Turn to him. Okay? And so he's appointed everyone to live at the time they're at and where they're at so that they might come to faith. That's really what it's saying. And it says here, though he's not far from each of us, verse 28, for in him we live and move and exist, even as some of your poets have said, for we also are his offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the divine nature as like gold or silver or stone or an image formed by art and the thought of man. Now, some people use this passage to say, hey, we could just be anything we want, you know, to try and evangelize people and just, you know, kind of do it our way. But no, if you look at this, Paul's going to get to the point here. He says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent. What does repenting mean? The word in Greek means to change your mind. And if you really, truly change your mind, your behavior is going to change. If you realize God convicts you that you're a sinner, you change your mind about yourself. And then you realize God is calling you to turn to him, you change your mind and you turn to him. You turn from your sin to Jesus. And so he says here, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he's appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. God is declaring to everyone that you need to repent because there's a judgment day. He does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. Not at all. But he's placed everybody where he wants them to be, that they would come to him. And are you willing to be where you are at your job, at your work, at your church, wherever you're at, to be there and be content with that? Are you willing to go where God would take you? Are you willing to do? You just need to be willing. Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing to do it from a heart, true heart. Now, I'm not saying that this passage is saying we're to run around and warn everybody. It's not what it's saying. It's talking about Ezekiel. He was a prophet. God has created us for good works that we would walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. We know from Colossians 4 that the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, which is not great because he was elevated in his ministry because God did it through him, because God did it. He said he was nothing. God did it. But he asked him to pray for open doors for the word. You know, when you pray for open doors and God opens the door, then this starts to apply. Do I shrink back or do I say what God wants me to say? Notice, as we continue, God has chosen Ezekiel to be this watchman. He has chosen him to go to the Israelites there that are in the thing. And now notice what he says here. He says, middle of verse 7, So you will hear a message from my mouth and will give them warning from me. That's your job as a watchman, is to listen to my word. You'll hear it. And then for me, you will warn them. This is so important. God is warning people. God's the one warning. He's warning them through faithful servants who just declare what he has said as he leads them where he wants them to be and to whom he wants them to go to. There's a lot of people, I think, out there that are declaring, you know, repent and running around. God never sent them there. You know, we need to go where God wants us to be. We need to do what God wants us to do. We're not to cast our pearls before swine and it gets trampled up. We're to pray for open doors. And when God opens that door, that's different. We better share. We better be ready. He says that, so you will hear a message from my mouth and give them a warning from me. You see, for the church, those who minister are to share the word of God. Scripture's clear. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as though they were the oracles of God. If you speak in the church, speak God's word. That's what he's saying. If you have a speaking gift, we're to speak God's word. Paul would tell Timothy in his last words to Timothy in 2 Timothy. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's already made it clear to Timothy that evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. Hey, they're coming. Evil men, imposters. He's made it clear about that. He said, but Timothy, you hold on to the things that you know. He's talking about the word of God. You learned it from your mother and your grandmother. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable. He shares that, right? And then in chapter 4, this is Paul's last words. He knows he's going to be with the Lord. This is his last words to Timothy. Again, very important. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. This sounds pretty serious. Preach what? The word. Be ready, context to preach, obviously, in season and out of season. Hey, there are times where people want to hear the word, and they're lining up, and people, wow, they want to hear it. We've had times in our culture that that's happened. We have times where people care less about it. In season and out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. Timothy, you need to do this. Preach the word, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with great patience and instruction. Remember, just in chapter 3, God's word does these things. What it does is exposes, it convicts, but it also makes straight again, it corrects, right? And it trains us in righteousness. We got to be reproved and rebuked at times before we can be corrected, right? So he says, do that. He says, because there's going to be a time that comes. For a time will come, and we're here, by the way, when they will not endure sound doctrine. They can't sit and listen to it. It's just too much. They can't endure it. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths or literally stories. Hey, this is Sunday after Sunday these days. If you're in a church that is not reproving, rebuking, and exhorting, run. Get out of there. God's not in it. He tells pastors to preach the word. There should be reproof. I'm a sinner. Man, I mess up. I don't want to mess up. I want to do what's right, but I mess up. I need God to reprove me. And then God is gracious if I accept it to correct me gently, to correct me and train me. You see, when we accept God's reproof, he's so gracious to us. He's so kind. You know, it's amazing that our sins have been forgiven and that he doesn't hold them against us. And this is where we fall so short in our evangelism too, by the way. This is personally speaking for all of us. When God opens a door and he's opening it, not you pressing it on people, not you throwing the Bible at somebody, but when God opens a door for someone to genuinely hear the truth of God, here's where we fail so much. We don't know the word of God. We need to speak his word for him. We need to speak the gospel. We need to understand that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We need to be able to share the word of God that he's declaring to all men everywhere that they should repent, because he's fixed a day in which he will judge the world through a man having appointed proof by raising him from the dead. We need to know the word of God to share to somebody. There's a judgment. But God doesn't want to judge you. He wants to save you and give you eternal life, because he judged his son instead. Jesus Christ took all of God's judgment in our place. And if we're willing to turn to Jesus and believe in him, then God will no longer condemn us. We're forgiven. You see, God has given us the word of reconciliation. Paul shares with the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians that they are ambassadors for Christ. Think about an ambassador. An ambassador that does not share the words of his country, he says his own thing, is not a good ambassador. God has given us the word of reconciliation. It is though God through us is saying, be reconciled to God. He has given us the word of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and then 21, that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ, that we might have his righteousness. So we need to know the word. We need to be ready to give an account. Why we have hope? I have hope because I've been saved from my sins, because God gave me eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, because the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a gracious God who would not leave us in this state, but give his only son for us. How tremendous is that? So, Ezekiel is to warn with God's word. And if you're in a church that you don't get warned, and non-believers in there are not getting warned, those are sitting around, if you're not getting warned, something's wrong. I'm not talking about the yelling Bible thumper. I'm talking about God through his word working on our hearts, where he's reproving us. He's exposing sin. He's convicting us through the word. That's what I'm talking about. So with that in mind, we need to realize God decides whom we're going to serve. In terms of leadership, certainly, and other serving, who we're going to warn, who he's going to take us to, and he warns through his word, through his servants, okay? And then notice, there is a life and death responsibility for those who are called to share his word. It's a serious thing.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, your message today carried some very important truth for us. Take just a moment and review maybe just a couple of the highlights for us.
Yes, Dave, we have seen some very important truth concerning how we're to serve. And indeed, we've seen from Ezekiel's example that first of all, God decides how we're going to serve him. He's gifted us all in different ways, and we're to serve him how he has decided. And also, God is the one who decides whom it is that we serve. We don't choose where we're to go. We don't choose where we're to be. We are to allow God to lead us to where he wants us to be. And lastly, if you have a speaking gift, we are to speak God's word. It's God's word that his servants are to use to warn those concerning the life and death reality of where they stand before the living God. Okay, well, we're not done with this amazing passage yet, so make plans to join us tomorrow as we conclude our look at the watchman.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.